This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Is Stefon Diggs a diva? Is he perceived to be a diva? Did that matter when it came to the Texans making a trade for Stefon Diggs? He was asked, he being Nick Caserio, Texans GM, Nick Caserio was asked by Jason Bristol of KHOU yesterday about the perception of Stefon Diggs being a diva.
There is a label of people say, oh, he's a diva. And the fact that we haven't heard from Stefon yet, is that a Stefon thing or is that a football ops thing?
Yeah, number one, I don't even know what that definition means. So if someone can define that for me, again, like, we're not worried about, you know, again, we're worried about what a player does when he walks in our building. So we do our research. We talk to our players. We talk to other players all the time. We talk to our players, you know, as an example, like a lot of the guys are in the draft. You know, we talk to those players. Hey, what are your thoughts about so-and-so? What is your experience with him? So, and we do our research, and then ultimately, D'Amico and I sit and talk, and if we feel comfortable with the decision, then we go ahead and make the decision. Candidly, I think it's unfair to label anybody until they actually have an opportunity to walk in the building.
Yeah. So there's two things that Nick Caserio does not know the definition of. Bigger names they signed
That's
in
right.
free agency.
That's
and
right.
and the word diva.
According to Oxford,
I knew this was
the
coming.
Definition of diva that I felt fit the best. Merriam-Webster's was kind of trash. It was a self-important person who is temperamental and difficult to please.
Mm.
Typically used of a woman, it says in parentheses. Which I do. I always feel like there's a little bit of extra jab when you call wide receivers diva, because I feel like you're almost kind of making like a feminine insult almost.
Yeah, a little
so
bit.
So people are trying to really stick it to him. But a self-important person who is temperamental and difficult to please, has that been the reputation of one Stefon Diggs? I feel like it's safe to say that yes, that has been.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
He forced his way out of Minnesota quite publicly. Like, just a show, talked, like, was publicly agitated, and now forced his way out of Buffalo by being publicly or cryptically agitated. So, and not to mention, people on his own team have said, like, hey, sometimes Stefon just needs some Stefon time.
Yeah.
He just needs some attention. So, yeah, I think he's a diva. He's a flat-out diva. Now, the question is, as Nick says multiple times in this press conference, you don't really know somebody until they walk in the building, and you don't make prejudgments about them.
Yep.
I think that the one-year deal goes to address a lot of the potential problems, and I think that it's something that, like, Nick and D'Amico 100% definitely talked about at length, but they feel like
they're not dumb.
It's a manageable risk right now.
they're not dumb.
Yeah, they're not David Culley coming in here and being like, oh, I've never heard of such a thing, or what, like, you know, I didn't even know that there was such an issue.
Yeah.
Nick is saying it a little bit, but it's more of a way just to get the question off of him.
Yeah. No, I think, look, they're bringing him in. The trade to bring in Stefon Diggs, to me, is about two things. it's the ability to get supreme playmaking at a pretty cheap price. Honest, if we're being honest, like the room, a team with cap space, you can absorb that contract, especially if it's just 1 year, and you did it for what it essentially amounts to a pick swap of 23 and 42. And number two, you feel like whatever comes with the Stephon Diggs package negatively is something that you've got plenty of cushion on the wall for that. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing you bring a guy in and he's got bad balance and the walls are all concrete and have knives sticking out of him. It's another thing if he's got bad balance and the walls are all padded. He's going to be just fine. Like, he's, you know, like he... There are plenty of buffers for Stephon Diggs in this locker room that I think are going to keep him, straight and narrow long enough for him to make the impact they want him to make for this football team.
It's like all the Sean. There were a lot of soldiers in Vietnam that had heroin issues because it was there, it was available, and it was not a fun place to be. So a lot of people turned to heroin, and it was a really big concern that, like, man, we're going to have all these veterans that are addicted to heroin when we get back to the States.
Right.
Turns out when they went back to their old environments and weren't in, you know, danger of being shot, and heroin wasn't easily available
over the counter heroin wasn't
a lot of these heroin habits and addictions just kind of dried up. It was a concern, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't nearly what they thought it was going to be. Basically, Buffalo may have just been like an opium den, you know, and,
yes.
But now you bring him to Houston,
right?
And it's more like it's an Alcoholics Anonymous.
He is, and he can go play pickleball or something like that. Do something productive in his off time instead
of
shooting
heroin. You
don't
have to worry about the old things popping up. It's a better environment.
Great analogy. Yes, I like that.
Sure.
here was Cody Stutz asked this question of Nick: what goes into discussions with another team trading for someone like Stephon Diggs?
What goes into a discussion with another team trading for a player like Stephon Diggs? How do you guys kind of arrive at that decision?
Yeah, Cody, I'd say I talk to a lot of different teams at different points of the year. So I think we're always open-minded and just trying to look at opportunities that may or may not exist. I would say that was something like I don't think we were really anticipating. But, you know, I think I had some conversations at different points and ultimately was able to come to fruition, and we felt that, you know, it made sense for us to pursue. So, I'd say we talked to a lot of teams about a lot of different things at different points. You know, hopefully, you know, Steph can come in here, and Steph's been a productive player, so hopefully he can come in and help our team in some capacity.
All right, so yeah, that's would you rather have Stephon Diggs for what they got Stephon Diggs for, or Keenan Allen for that third round pick in 2025 on this team? Given that their contracts end up being about the same thing, like Keenan Allen had 1 year left at $18 million, you're getting Stephon Diggs at a year for 20-something million.
I think Keenan Allen, there's a better chance that he sticks around for a couple of years, 3 years, maybe ages really well. You know, he started to have some injury issues, so maybe that's a pie in the sky dream. But I felt like there would have been more of a chance for a long term relationship with Keenan Allen, where I think that with Stephon Diggs, maybe he ends up coming back again next year, but I feel like it would be on a 1 year contract.
Yeah.
So that's if I had to choose, I guess I would choose that. It's not saying that I'm still very, very excited about the Stephon Diggs presence and everything.
I think Diggs is the better player right now than I think he's the more explosive player right now than Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you get that. You're right. This might be more of like, oh my God, you know, like I'm in this relationship, you know, like, hey man. Sex is really
Keenan
good
Allen?
For a year, but this thing's not long-term. Keenan Allen, you know, sex is all right, but he also, you know, cooks a mean lasagna and all those other things, you know?
Yeah, gets along with your mother.
Right.
Important stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think, where would Keenan Allen rather be?
Chicago or here? I would think here, right?
Yeah,
I would think here. I would think anybody'd rather be here than Chicago for many reasons.
Because even though, I mean, he'll get excited about Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
And everything, but it's just, you just never know. It's just, you've got more of a, you've got just obviously more of a track record with CJ.
I think, and my guess is Keenan Allen probably rather be in either place than in than with the Chargers. You know, I think Harbaugh is going to get that thing turned around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Something new. You know, Keenan Allen's been there forever and they haven't done anything. You know, sometimes experiencing something new. I'm glad
especially
we have Diggs.
You know, it can be tricky too, man. When the new coach comes in, he wants to establish his new culture, and sometimes there's almost a Like coaches, they try not for it to be this way, but sometimes they've almost got a grudge against some of the veterans who are already there because they feel like they've been infected with the stank.
Yes.
And like there is almost, it's like a kid whose older brother was a bad kid in high school, and the vice principal is just waiting for you. Like, your older brother was a jerk and a delinquent, so the vice principal's got it out for you, and he's just waiting for you to screw up.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know, he catches you 30 seconds late for class, and in his mind, yep, chip off the old block, detention for you.
Yes.
I feel like sometimes there's that effect. So Keenan Allen, it might be better just for him to get a fresh start.
Well, and go somewhere where you're wanted. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if Keenan Allen wanted to stay in L.A., but you know who clearly didn't want Keenan Allen to stay in L.A. to some degree was Jim Harbaugh, or else they wouldn't have traded. And they traded him for a fourth-round pick, and I know they had major cap issues.
Clear salary, yeah.
Yeah, they had major cap. But if you want to keep him badly enough, you can figure out a way. I mean, he had 1 year.
But it would have, right, he would have been a hanger-on for like somebody that ultimately Harbaugh didn't even really want there, and then all of a sudden, then the rookies get every benefit of the doubt, whoever they draft.
Yeah.
Like, it's very easy to get pushed off to the side when the new toys are in town.
Right. Hey, remember yesterday when I said that, like, that Nick Caserio has, I think his answers can, most of them kind of fall into two buckets.
Yeah.
One of them is, like, super insightful. Gives you great detail. I thought that cut we played a little bit earlier where he was talking about him and D'Amico and the coaching staff and how they communicate about players. And
yeah,
we narrow it down to these four. Oh, we have these six or eight. Let's do a Zoom call with some of them. I mean, it might have been a little nerdy, like draft stuff, but I thought it was cool. I love getting to see what behind the scenes looks like. Like, that was really interesting to me. And then there's the other bucket where he basically just says, we did what's best for the team. Here was Nick Caserio when he was asked, I think Cody Davis asked this question, about tearing up the last 3 years of Stephon Diggs' contract and essentially making it a one-year prove-it deal.
The team-building process, it's probably, you know, one of the most enjoyable aspects of my job because it's...
No, this is Caserio. This should be Caserio 12 here, Ben. Sorry. Yeah.
I wanted to hear about team building.
Well, so that was the one I cited that as the example of a really good answer. I just didn't.
Every situation is different. I think we evaluate it case by case. You have discussions with the representation and the player, and ultimately you make a decision that you feel was in the best interest of the team and the organization, everybody involved, and that's why we ended up where we are.
That's a little bit of Bill O'Brien there, you know. Yeah. It's in the best interest of the team. It's like
that was on me, by the way, not Ben.
Just right, so. But that's one of my least favorite stock responses, just because it's almost like, all right, we assume, I'd like to assume that you're doing everything in the best interest of the team. That's not in question. I never once was like, Nick, why are you acting so selfishly in this regard?
Yeah.
So that, the doing the things in the best interest of the team, I get it. Yes, that's what hopefully, ideally, everybody is doing.
Yeah, hit that one more time. Again, this is, like, Nick's gone into great detail about a ton of things to this point in the press conference. He had a 6-minute monologue to open the press conference where he's talking about information the league gave him about how close games are at the end and talking about all sorts of different things. And I would say one of the more important moves of this offseason has been not just the Diggs trade, but the subsequent decision to make it a one-year deal. Like, that's a huge wrinkle in this whole thing. Here was the answer again on why.
Every situation is different. I think we evaluate it case by case. You have discussions with the representation and the player, and ultimately you make a decision that you feel was in the best interest of the team and the organization and everybody involved, and that's why we ended up where we are.
This is not shade at Nick Caserio. That was the answer I was expecting there for that, but it's just funny to me.
And your imagination can run wild with how maybe it actually went down. Right. I think there's a fair chance that, as it happens, with guys who are, whether they're divas or not, it's hard to sometimes a trade for a veteran. You don't want to trade for a veteran player who really doesn't want to come to you. It gets to be a big issue. So you got to sometimes coax and massage the situation to be sure that the trade goes through and it's worth the trade. And so there's a more than fair chance that that's what happened there, that it was a little bit of a negotiation as to whether or not the deal would even go through.
Yeah.
That's where being the squeaky wheel – It pays off. I mean, it's not without its merits. It's hard to be that person if you're not wired that way. But Stephon Diggs, I don't think he has any problem being that person.
He's no problem being that way, and he happens to still be really, really good at the sport of football.
Right.
That's those two things. Hey, do you think that Kareem Jackson is having a hard time getting signed by NFL teams because he tweeted this out yesterday at 3:30 in the afternoon. He said, it's a damn shame Pop Warner football allowed to hit harder than the NFL. A lot of laughing, crying emojis. And then he says, any Pop Warner teams need a safety, hit my agent. Do you think Kareem has developed a reputation now to where, or do you think it's just he's an older player, you know, who's
twice suspended.
Yeah.
And he's 36 years old.
Yeah.
He just turned 36. Happy birthday.
Has he missed any games in his career?
Like, he's been very durable, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'm going to go look while you're talking.
So I think with Kareem Jackson, it's a combination of him being 36 years old, him being twice suspended, yes. He's a league leader in that regard.
Right.
And so I think it's a combination of his age, but his age is a double whammy because I think teams will look at him and say, well, this is an old dog who is very fiercely and openly refusing to learn new tricks.
Right.
You know, like, he's unapologetic about the way he plays football, despite having had two suspensions. And I think they probably look at that and say, well, it's at least right now, at this moment, it's not worth the risk. I think that if he still wants to play, and I don't think Kareem ever gets out of shape, if he still wants to play, I would be surprised if he doesn't find himself on a team somewhere this year. And it might not be until starts to be like playoff time, maybe after the trade deadline when somebody can't get something done. But if he really wants to play, I'm guessing he's going to get a chance.
He still lives here. I mean, that is kind of like a practice squad you can keep going if you're the Texans. Like, hey, you're not on the roster, but you're a veteran who's just kind of going to the gym, staying in shape. Yeah. You know, like, hey, when we need you, we're going to call you. Kareem Jackson has played in a total of 203 of a possible 227 games across the course of his 14-year career. 227 possible games. He's played in 203, and let's remind you that he has endured two suspensions.
So he's missed 24 games.
And a chunk of those had nothing to do with health.
I think at least six of them were suspensions.
Right.
Right?
That sounds
right.
Was
it a two and a four or something like that?
Yeah.
And then maybe
right.
One was a sitting at the end of the season or something.
Maybe.
Who knows? So I would say he's probably missed fewer than 16 games to injury in his career.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah. That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
I wonder, I like the idea. We should keep an incubator going around.
Yeah.
Not for eggs,
no,
but for old folks.
Old
where
players
guys,
in shape.
There's a lot of retired players who live in Houston.
Yes.
Get them all together and work out at a facility.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, you kind of have film of all of them. You can see exactly how they're running. You have to do light one-on-one pass rush drills and everything, you know, with no pads. And just, you could spit that film out to NFL front office. I'm going to put this in the Google Doc of business ideas.
Google Doc, yeah. And you know where our first scouting venture is? The J.J. Watt charity softball game.
So we got to get 12, Kareem there.
We've got, he's playing in that game for the olds. Yeah. He's on
we'll
the
get
old
JJ
guy
to yeah. come work out at the incubator.
Yeah,
it's just hard to pin. JJ's not going to be in town very much.
No. He can at least do commercials for the incubator. Hell, he talked about Island Grill this week, and they had lines out the door over there. That's, you know?
Oh, really? That was a JJ sparked?
He had a lot of people. I don't know if they had lines out the door, but they had a big rush of people coming there when JJ mentioned it.
I think with that my how I would make money off of that too, by the way, is free for the athletes to work out, but I will be filming it and getting motivational quotes and doing montages of your workout all day long.
Yep.
I'm gonna make money off of this with the podcasts and the live stream.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Big series for the Astros this week, and they got to get back on track. It's Friday, man. Let's try to feel good. Is there anything glass half full? Anything glass half full to take so far from a 6-14 start with the Astros? Believe it or not, I actually have a short list, and we will get to that coming up next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. Final segment of the show. There has been a law passed in a state.
We're going to go C-SPAN on you because there's something happening in Tennessee that A lot of people thought would never happen, and I'm afraid that it actually might make the Titans better over time.
Yes.
So we'll get to that later. I was devastated to find this out.
It's a hell of a tease. We'll get to that in the final segment of the show. Landry Locker and Brandon Scott are out at the Chevron Championship, so we'll check in with them before finish up. Yeah, they're out in the Woodlands today, man. Figgy's back here in studio. I just ran into him.
Figgy.
Figgy's back here, so we get to see Figgy. So the Astros are off to a 6-14 start. Oddly enough, for a team that is so bad, I don't know where 6-14 puts them among all of baseball. I'm just focused on the division right now. But for a team that has been this bad this early, I was thinking to myself the other night, Seth, I'm like, all right, I got to feel better, at least going into the weekend, about the Astros, like that they can pull this thing out of a nosedive. And getting Verlander back, I think, we'll see how much that helps. In the American League right now, the only team behind the Astros are the horrific Chicago White Sox, who draw, like, flies to their games, and that's about it.
The old Abreu from Maldonado swap,
It's working out swimmingly for both
staggered
squads. Yeah.
A staggered trade
that
would just bring nothing but glory to both parties. Are they paying about Maldonado as much as the Astros are playing Abreu?
Checking.
Is that okay?
It's
to be
worse
sure.
for us, yeah.
I'm not a capologist, Sean. I'm not a capologist, okay?
Yeah, right. So 6-14 start. I'm like, all right, what are the things that give us hope? And I actually came up with a longer list than I thought I would. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Altuve
give
looks
it to me, Sean.
Altuve, you tell me if these things matter, Seth, as we try to pull out of the nosedive here. Altuve looks amazing, and Yordan looks pretty amazing, too. And those are our 1 and 2 hitters every day in the lineup right now.
Yes, I think you should feel awesome about that. Even if you're somebody who doesn't like Yordan being at number two, I get that. I appreciate it. I understand. I kind of like it.
It ain't why they're losing, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I like a cycle. Yeah. Now, having Bregman trying to drive these guys in for a while. I would add that, too. I don't know if you put that on the list, but having Bregman in the three spot instead of cleanup,
I'll add that to these two right here.
Happy
yeah.
about that, yeah.
Yep.
Altuve right now, still over a 1,000 OPS. Yeah, 1137 OPS. And Yordan Alvarez at 912.
Yeah.
Altuve's batting .388.
And Altuve, keep in mind, this is the first 20 games of this season, coming off of a second half of last season. Once he got all the injuries behind him, because he had the broken hand, which led to the oblique injury. You know, like that broken hand led to all sorts of janky ass stuff for Altuve in the first half of the season. You take the second half of his season last year, where eventually he got his average to 300 and his OPS to 900, like he wanted to. And the first 20 games of this year, I'd be shocked if there's a player in baseball, maybe more than two or three, that had better numbers than Jose Altuve when you combine this season with the second half of last season. I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I would say with Yordan, you know, he got off to an unlucky start. He was hitting the ball really hard. It was just one of those deals where a lot of the hard hits were directly to center field or what have you. He's been playing it at above a 1,000 OPS pace as well since the first week or so.
Yep, no doubt. Jeremy Pena appears to be on his way to being an above-average big league hitter. I'm never going to say Pena's going to be A-Rod. I don't know if Pena's going to be Correa. You know, Correa in his best years is a 25 home run, 85 RBI guy, whatever. But he at least, I mean, he's like third or fourth in the league in hits right now, Jeremy Pena, batting in the 7-hole.
And let's remember, he is a shortstop. You know, it's not like it's still a relatively new invention, the offensive shortstop. It's not, if you can be awesome defensively and be an above average player, you're doing pretty damn well. I mean, right now, he's hitting .329, .817 OPS.
Yeah.
Defensively, you know, and a lot like Correa. Correa was always really good defensively, but just had some things that he needed to perfect and polish. And Pena's right at that spot now, too. There's times where he still can learn to slow down a little bit more, that he's got more time. But he makes so many great plays.
Yeah.
There's so many things that are so similar to him and Carlos Correa.
Yep.
The only thing I worry about him, Sean, I know we're looking at all the positives.
Mm-hmm.
There is a little bit like of a hitch in his giddy up. As fast as he is, I get a little nervous sometimes. He doesn't have like the most pristine and pure running form.
He's kind of pigeon-toed.
He kind of drags the one leg along for the ride.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
that's
what
I worry about over time. That might be something that compounds and makes him injury.
Jeremy Pena might have a club foot. That's what we're worried about.
Yeah.
Next one. Christian Javier, I know it's only a few starts, appears to be pretty much back. Pretty much. I don't know that the version of Javier that we saw in 2022 in the second half of the season in the playoffs is ever walking through the door again. I just don't know. Like, is that... That was elite. I'd be like, elite with a capital E. And I'm not even mad about it. Like, if this is... If the version of Javier we've gotten so far this year, if this is who he is, it's still pretty close to that, and it's definitely worth $13 million a year for the next four or five years.
Dude, I think the big experiment with a lot of the pitchers so far this year is that, man... Just about every single one of them is debuting or using an increasing amount the changeup. Mm-hmm. And I think with Javier, when his invisible is working, it makes the changeup lethal. And he's been, and I think the other part of it that's going to be interesting to watch over time is I feel like part of the Astros throwing more changeups is that you're just throwing fewer fastballs, which hopefully should mean fewer Tommy Johns or elbow issues or what have you. Like, you got to do something. You got to do something to stop all these damn pitchers getting injured so much. And just throwing fewer fastballs seems like it's got to be a good idea. This is two exercise physiology takes in a row by me.
I know. This is interesting. I like this. Channeling your science side here late on a Friday.
That includes very little actual science. Yes.
Glass half full. They dodged a bullet with Framber. That injury to Framber, that inflammation of the left elbow, and when it was coming down, I was going to say, when it was coming down when the Astros are playing really poorly, which is the whole season so far, but it was, you know, like there's not been a point this season at all where the Astros haven't felt snake bit, and Framber missing a start or two or however many it ends up being with an elbow at first felt like, here we go again. He's the next one. You know, it was McCullers. It was Verlander. It was Luis Garcia. And now Framber. Framber's going to be back for this Cubs series coming up this week. So he's coming off the IL pretty quick here. So they dodged a bullet with Framber. You know, that's a glass half full. Like your rotation here coming up, and we'll see how long it lasts given injuries, but your rotation coming up here is going to be Verlander and Framber Valdez and Christian Javier. Ronel Blanco is probably in that mix as one of your top... He's for sure in the mix as one of your top four guys right now. If those guys pitch to, you know, 85% of their capabilities and the team continues to hit, they're going to win some games, especially with the schedule kind of lightening up here. So, Framber, you dodged a bullet, and Luis Garcia threw off a mound this week, Seth. Luis Garcia is getting closer and closer to coming back.
And Urquidy, I saw the projection for Urquidy. Did you already say May 1?
I did not. Yeah, I did not. Yeah. So.
Which is interesting. I think that might be. Is that when they play in Mexico?
That's after they get back.
It's after. Okay, good. Yeah. I wouldn't want him to press it too hard to go play in his native Mexico. I would worry about that.
9,000 feet elevation.
For real. Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that's going to be brutal for pitchers.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, I'm taking the over in those
games. Let him use the sticky stuff. It's going to be so slippery.
Yeah. Let him use the sticky stuff.
Just for this game. It's never fun for somebody to get beamed in the head in one of your foreign games. That's not the best way to grow the game.
No.
Okay?
No.
Pitcher lost control, beamed somebody in the head. That guy's dead. Play baseball.
Glass half full. I don't know that the Montero contract is ever going to be worth it if this is what his role is, you know, the sixth inning. But Rafael Montero is not a disaster. Like, of the Jim Crane moves that got made, the Crane Bagwellian moves that got made in that dead period with no GM, the Montero contract at least appears to be pulling out of a nosedive right now.
Right.
Glass half full.
Right, right. So if you look at, I mean, pitchers just sometimes go through these rough years, and Montero had him before, but then he played brilliantly for the Astros, and then it looked like, oh, crap, what kind of a year is this year going to be? Is it going to be like last year? So far, so good.
Yep.
Josh Hader had his really horrendous, awful year in 2022.
He did.
That was really the only bad, really, really, really bad season.
Right.
But that wasn't that long ago.
No.
2023 was enough for people to say, well, Hader's back, baby. And maybe he will be.
You know what else wasn't that long ago? Monday, when Hader gave up five runs. last one I've got on the list here, with Joe Espada. You know, and
Montero's throwing more changeups this year too. By the way,
see, look at this, man.
Montero is, Framber is, that's the key. Javier is. It's this year's black.
The cheat code. It's the cheat code. I'll say this about Joe Espada. He does not seem like he's stubborn or set in his ways. Like, he ain't afraid to sit Jose Abreu down or move him down the order. Now, the back of the baseball card comment.
Yeah.
I felt like he might have been held at gunpoint to give that the other day. If we looked off camera, that there might have been a sniper aiming at Joe Espada saying, look, when they ask about Abreu, you better bring up the back of the baseball card.
Right.
Or say goodbye to your family. You know, like that could be what happened. But
that might be the company line. That might be what their new motivational saying is in their big room, their big meeting room.
Yeah.
As a reminder to not get too, don't take too seriously the opinion of these 150 rocket scientists we have working on this 24 right. hours a day. Remember, the back of the baseball card.
My analytics are right here. I'll show the back of the baseball card. That's what I was doing. If you aren't watching on YouTube, I was pulling out a fictional baseball card.
I thought you were wiping your butt with the back of the baseball card.
That comes later. Yeah, that comes later. All right. Peyton Pendergast with you. So I'm trying to find things, man. I'm just trying to find crumbs that can get us feeling good. And Verlander's
coming back. Those are all very valid, Sean. Those are all very, very valid.
Yep.
Good job.
Thank you.
I feel like I've just spent 3 days at a mental health retreat.
Yes. See? And you're coming out feeling refreshed.
Yes.
Ready for Astros baseball. Hey, the Chevron Championship, that'll refresh you. It's the first major of the year. Landry and Brandon are out there today. It's the LPGA Tour, and it's first major of the LPGA Tour, and it's happening this weekend in the Woodlands. Big tournament for the ladies there. Adult tickets start at $35. Kids 17 and under are free. So get out there, watch the best golfers in the world, tee it up. Tickets and information at thechevronchampionship.com. Up next, a change in law in Tennessee, which has Seth concerned about the viability of the Tennessee Titans. I can't wait for him to explain this one. That is next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Okay, now look, we know that the Texans share a division geographically with teams that are, you know, it's kind of an orphan division. You know what I mean? Like the AFC North has its culture. You know, it's the Ohio, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. You know, the AFC West, you know, they those teams have played each other for a long, long time. AFC East, same thing. I know they're different parts of the country, but it's along that eastern seaboard and their rivalries there. The AFC South, and you know this, Seth, from having played for two of the four teams, it's always been kind of the division where it's like, all right, these are the four leftovers. And they're all kind of in the South, I suppose.
Right.
You know,
right,
so these are these four teams. And so the Texans, who are in a major metropolitan area and a cultural mecca, Houston, Texas, you know, they're stuck in a division with, you know, Northern Florida. I like Jacksonville, though. Jacksonville's a fun city, but it's, you know, Northern Florida, by and large, there's, you know, it's sketchy. And then there's
South Georgia.
It's South Georgia, right. Then there's Indy and Tennessee.
Right.
Which are, you know, that's
Indianapolis, the state of Indiana.
Yeah.
Largely known as the place where literacy goes to die. Tennessee, largely known as the place to go where, you know, cousin marriage thrives.
Yeah.
And, well, like, I think a lot of people think I'm making this up when I talk about how infatuated the state of Tennessee is with marrying their cousins. Just have a listen to this, because apparently they're taking this right away from the people in Tennessee, but not without a fight, according to WATE-TV in Knoxville.
First cousin marriage will probably be illegal soon in Tennessee, but not without a fight.
Yeah, a Republican lawmaker defends cousin marriages today after saying his grandparents were first cousins.
State Capitol reporter Chris O'Brien has more details on the unusual bill.
Currently legal for two first cousins to marry in Tennessee, but soon that will likely change.
First cousins in the state of Tennessee, You can't marry first cousins. We're not going to allow that in this day and age.
Thursday, the General Assembly passed a bill banning marriage between lineal descendants of a grandparent. Currently, the law only outlaws marriage between just the children of a grandparent. The bill passed unanimously in the Senate and drew support from most Republicans in the House, but not all of them.
There's an additional risk, but it's not as significant as some might otherwise be led to believe.
Brentwood Republican Representative Gino Bolso filed an amendment to protect cousin marriage if couples see a genetic counselor.
Obviously, the way he did it, we didn't agree with, and so his amendment failed.
Okay, let me say one thing, and then I'll let you do your thing here. That cut, what was that, about a minute, right? About a minute? I'm laughing three words in. Like, the first three words were first cousin marriage. And I'm laughing my ass off.
Will probably be illegal soon, but not without a fight.
Not without a fight.
Thank you to our listeners, Texans Nerd on X, who sent that to me. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. I love that the guy was like, my grandpappy and my grandmammy were first cousins, and I turned out just fine for somebody who can't smell. By my,
what?
I could count on my seven fingers the amount of times that this has ever even been an issue.
The best part about this thing to me, about that audio we just played, aside from everything, is the newscasters, you know, who are, I'm going to guess, not from Knoxville. Like Knoxville, yeah. I've been to Knoxville a few times. My daughter works in Knoxville. It's a fun city. It really is. I'm guessing that Knoxville is not the ultimate stop for the newscasters that are doing this story. You know what I mean? Like Knoxville is viewed as probably a stepping stone city.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And though the newscasters don't necessarily sound like they're from Tennessee. And my guess is like they've got eyes on being in New York or Chicago or LA someday. And they're sitting here having to, with a straight face, talk about these yokels in central Tennessee that are trying to stand on a hill and die on it for cousin marriage.
For cousin marriage.
Yeah.
Right? This is the one that, no, we will. We'll fight this.
Right.
I'll fight my...
Like, I'm like, I'm just sitting there...
Are you sure that this is the fight you want to choose?
Right.
And they say, hey, is my cousin Mabel the finest piece of ass you've ever seen? The answer is yes.
Right. The newscasters are sitting there going like, all right, what's your ultimate goal? Well, my ultimate goal is to be on NBC News someday. Like, I want to be national. Yeah, I want to be on NBC News. And then you sit down and you go, okay, how many steps is that going to take? I don't know, probably like 50 steps. That's where it's a stark reality. Like, God, I'm on like step four right now.
I'm covering cousin marriage.
Yeah, I'm covering cousin marriage with a straight face. Like,
first cousin marriage, everybody.
Yeah, first cousin. Yeah, they didn't say anything. Like, the deeper down you go, the cousin food chain, you're fine, I guess.
This is where the real story is, Sean, that as of right now, first cousin marriage is legal in 17 states.
Oh, wow.
But as far as I know, Tennessee is the only one that sees a need to address it right now.
Right, right.
Because I feel like it's not an issue in all these other states.
Yeah.
Tennessee is kind of like, man, we are plummeting in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
Like, we need to stop the bleeding now.
Yes, because you can go find, as we do when we do Five Reasons I Hate You during the season, you can find archaic laws in any city or state that just haven't been repealed because people evolved. You know, they just don't do it anymore.
Which is, I told Cletus about this, about like stopping the bleeding, and he's like, oh, I know how to stop my cousin's bleeding.
Okay.
Right. Put a baby in her belly. We cut it off right there.
Text message. I hereby nominate Seth Payne for one of them nice awards Sean won for his fire segment right now. Seth is going to win the Media Alliance of Houston Sports and Entertainment Specialist next year based on the genealogy. Right.
Yeah.
The sports and genealogy specialist.
I wonder if 23andMe gives Tennesseans a discount. Like, we barely have to do any work on this. We just gotta hyphenate a couple names, then here you go. It's largely the same family tree for everybody, okay?
Oh, I thought you were gonna say, does Tennessean show up as like one of the nationalities on 23andMe? You know, like 10% Irish, 5% German, and 85% Tennessean. Yeehaw!
I've actually got 2.3% Neanderthal DNA, but it's not as I'm cool with that. It's actually kind of cool, but this Tennessee DNA, how do I get it out? Can I get this surgically removed yet?
My God. Okay, so how does this play out with the Texans then? Like, how does this law somehow impact football in the state of Tennessee?
I think if anything, I feel like it might actually be bad for the Texans because like more Tennesseans will be out and about looking for a new spouse instead of just marrying their first cousin like all the relatives did before them, which means more boisterous crowds at the Titans games.
Okay.
Like more people actually getting out there instead of just staying home to mate with their first cousin.
Okay.
Yeah.
My concern level.
And also, like, and honestly, over time, the gene pool should be a little bit better, more diverse and resilient. Literacy rates will improve, which might also hurt the Texans over time. But it's going to take a few generations. Because remember, just because they passed the law doesn't mean that any of these first cousin bred sheriffs in Tennessee are going to enforce the law.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Like, what am I going to do? Go bust up Cletus's wedding?
No.
I'm in the wedding party.
You're right.
Me and my cousin wife, Lucinda, is the bridesmaid.
First cousin marriage might turn into, it's 35 and a 30. You know, like,
Yeah, it's going to be kind of like the way Prohibition was enforced in some places.
Yeah, they belong together. Look at them. Look how happy they are. They belong together.
They're going to be, you know what they'll be doing? Yeah. They'll be going off and doing their cousin marriage. It's kind of like Mel Gibson in Braveheart. They got to do it secret, you know?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden the jackbooted thugs come in to break up the first cousin marriage.
Jackbooted.
Yeah.
Jackbooted and Tempestuous in the same week. We can just shut this baby down right now. You are getting an award, Seth Payne. Jackbooted. I like that. Do you think we see any more uniform leaks this weekend on the Texans stuff?
I hope not. I'd like to keep it pure, man.
Yeah.
It's kind of like knowing the results of the Olympics or what have you when you're trying to watch on a live stream.
Yeah.
I'd like to stay ignorant. I saw that first leak like once or twice, and I'm like, no, I'm not even going to look at it or fixate it. I'm going to try to forget what it even looks like.
Yeah.
Then I saw the helmet yesterday. I tried not to look at it too hard. I ended up examining it just mostly to see if I could see the reflection of the guy taking the picture or taking the video. But for the most part, I'm like, I'm cleansing those images from my mind.
Okay.
Just like I've already cleansed Cletus and Jezebel together out of my mind.
Okay. It took 45 seconds.
I'll use that one later, though.
It took 45 seconds. Yeah, I hope not. I hope not too. It's funny. I tried to find out. I haven't heard from anybody yet. I'm trying to find out, like, how popular this party that we're going to on Tuesday was. Like, and for those who don't know, 713 Music Hall. It's not an open party. Like, you have to have a ticket to get in. And the Texans did sort of a drawing for tickets, like a lottery for tickets. And I know a lot of Texan season ticket holders. I know very few that won tickets to this thing, and they all put in for it. This is the first Texans thing in a long time that I can remember people being like, dang, I didn't get into this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's not just like the diehard core that are going to be there like no matter what. There's a lot. Yeah, this was clamored for. A lot of people wanted to go to this. Yeah.
A lot of people wanted to go.
It's a fun thing on a Tuesday night, too. Even if there's leaks, it's going to be cool to see the presentation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, keep in mind, like, the uniform, if you're going, know this, the uniform will have been revealed by the time you get to that party. So this isn't them, you know, pulling curtains off the uniform saying, voila, here they are, the uniforms. Like, they're going to have been revealed on social media. Cal and Hannah are coming in studio within the loop on Tuesday at 11, an hour after the uniforms get revealed. Presumably to maybe take John and Landry to task about something. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. Do we have the guys yet?
No, Landry. I feel like Landry's gotten a little bit of, you know what Landry's been able to do? He's almost got a Simon Cowell appeal to some of the people that he's critical of sometimes.
Yeah.
I think they almost look at it like, oh, I'm gonna win Simon Cowell's. I'm gonna win his approval. It's where it almost becomes a challenge. I think Landry's carved out a little niche where I think some of the people that might get frustrated with him criticizing them at times also still like they look at him almost like they seek his approval.
Yeah, or they seek his approval, or like I know a lot of people. I've read stories of people who got like torn up by Simon Cowell. Like they get to brag about. Yeah, like I got torn up by Simon Cowell. You know, like it was like a tourist attraction. Like, yeah, you know who tore me up? Landry Locker tore me up. Yeah, exactly. Metaphorically, that is. Not
got lit up by Landry Locker.
Lit up by Landry. Yeah, the fellas are out there right now. They're out in the Woodlands. The Chevron Championship. The aforementioned Landry Locker and Brandon Scott. What's up, fellas?
What's up, man? How you living?
We're doing great, man. We're doing great. Did you hear what we were just talking about just
now? Yeah, Simon Cowell. Shout out to him. I think he discovered the Spice Girls.
He was
the man.
Are you flattered by that comparison?
Yeah, I am. I really, really am. Now, if we were talking about these Texans uniforms, like, it's definitely not Kelly Clarkson. It's definitely not Reuben Studdard. It's damn sure not Clay Aiken. I don't know what we're thinking here if we're talking about these unis.
Is it the dude with the curly hair? What was his name? The one that she did the movie with? Justin?
Oh, the original one.
Justin? Are they Justin? Is that his name?
I don't remember him.
Justin Guarini?
I don't remember him.
Is that right? Hit us up, text line. I think it was the curly haired dude.
Okay.
I think that's what it is.
Not Fantasia.
Yeah.
Nah, hell no.
Maybe Fantasia 10 years after she won Idol.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't do it like that.
Man, have y'all, I know y'all were talking about leaks. It's kind of getting a little wild on those streets with these leaks.
Yeah, dude. Well, this one looks like it was, And it may be confirmed that this was the case. This one looks like it was some sort of shipping facility, right? Is that?
Well, let me just ask you this. Do you follow Antonio Brown on Twitter?
I do.
Okay,
oh,
well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would say he's...
The cat is out the bag.
I'm not saying whether it's real or not, but there's yeah. a lot of stuff out there now to where, yeah, I think Antonio Brown, I don't know, he might have a connected Nike or something
Seth,
like that.
I alluded to this earlier with Seth. I told Seth, I think there's some other renditions of the uniform floating around that are pretty accurate. I had forgotten that one of them was Antonio Brown tweeting the thing out.
Well, here was the way that I talked about it was I just said, well, there's another one that's even more in-depth that I'm sure you can find on the streets. But people, there's the natural dialogue is, man, this isn't real, this isn't real, this isn't real. And I'm like, yeah, well, that white one looks pretty accurate to me because we've seen the
white
one.
We've seen it,
so,
yeah.
So at least one of them it clearly is. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this is good or bad. It's not like a big deal, right?
No.
Like, but is Cal McNair kind of – at what point does Cal McNair get tired of saying – okay, like, let me go take a picture on my driveway with the hat on for you guys because of the leak, and then let me go on Reddit.
Landry, maybe never, because I think Cal has come out a big winner in this whole thing.
Like, he has.
You know what I mean? Like maybe he's rooting for a Battle Red leak over the weekend or something like that, because he's that picture of Cal with his dog in the driveway with a gigantic pendant around the dog's neck and with the ball cap on. I had more people last night walking up to me and showing me that thing than a long, long time of anything to do with the Texans. Like, I think it's been good for Cal.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.